Blog Talk Radio.
Matthews, I'm William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm all right, you?
That's
good. Glad you're all right. Hopefully, you know, our listeners are doing all right. In case they want to give us a call, you know, that's 1-347-388-4189. That's 1-347-388-4189. 4189. And, you know, we're going to, it's kind of pretty much a slow day in sports. I mean, later today, right after this show, the Knicks are going to be playing. They're going to be playing on 10-11. So, you know, I guess, you know, I'll check that out right after the show. You know, we'll talk a little Knicks. We'll talk, of course, Hats those, you know, with the Mets signing Frank Catalano, Josh Fogg. Which, you know, Macaulay, you know who I was talking about. But
yeah.
I mean, he's a no-name guy anyway. Yankees with their decision not to sign Damon. You know, a little Super Bowl preview. And a little professional wrestling, too. And we'll open up the, you know, the lines for you guys as usual. Talk whatever you want to talk about, sports, entertainment. Whatever you want to talk about. You know how it is on the show. So I guess we'll lead off with the Knicks, if you don't mind. If there's anything really to talk about the Knicks.
They suck.
Yeah, they well, that pretty much sums it up. They stink. They're like 10 games under 500 now. They're 18-28 as they play later tonight.
They've lost 8 of their last 11 games. And
yep.
As of right now, doesn't look like they'll make the playoffs.
It definitely doesn't look like they will, man. Even as horrible as the Eastern Conference is, they can't gain any ground if they keep losing like this. They're not even in the game. Their best defensive player is Jared Jeffries.
Yep.
Once he's out, you know, out of the game, it's like they can't function defensively.
And every time D'Antoni gets mad at a player, he benches him for like 20, 30 games.
Yep. And right now, that's what Larry Hughes is going through right now.
Yeah, and we could use Larry Hughes right now.
Yeah, that should be a T-shirt. That kind of runs. We could use Larry Hughes.
Yeah, we need the guy. He's a good player. You know, he could back up Duhon. And right now, we just don't have another player to back up Duhon. I mean, Nate Robinson's been doing good, but we could use Larry Hughes right now.
Yeah, we definitely could. I mean, the guy, you know, he's the best all-around point guard right now on the team. I mean, he plays defense. He, you know, he could score. He'd be the perfect fit for the team. I mean, Duhon, it's like he's like the perfect complementary player to Duhon and Nate. It's like, you know, Nate, he's that explosive scoring point guard, but the problem with Nate, he doesn't distribute the ball, which is Chris Duhon's strength, is that he could pass the ball, and he doesn't turn the ball over. And Hughes is a horrible, he's a streaky shooter, you know, takes too many shots for a point guard, so, you know, he is a combo guard like Nate. But we could definitely use this guy. And the only reason why why Duhon is still, you know, the starting point guard for this team is because of the obvious reasons. He's the best, you know, passer on the team, and he doesn't turn the ball over. But man, he couldn't shoot his way out of a wet paper bag, man.
No, he's in a slump right now.
Yeah, I think it's too late to say it's a slump. He's been like this practically all year now. I mean, except for that early surge, you know, that they had in December.
Yeah.
But, man, the honeymoon's over with the Knicks.
And we just need to get a use back. And I don't know what. Doesn't D'Antoni want to win? Why does he keep doing this?
This is like the second time he did this. You know, last year he had the problem with Marbury, which is, I mean, understandable. You know, Marbury's a head case, but I mean, he should have let him. He let him play preseason, and then he just benched him without saying. And trust me and you are, you know, we resigned from presidents of the Marbury fan club a long time ago. In 2004. So
yeah,
we're no friends with that guy anymore. But what he did to him was kind of it was unjust, because he let the guy play in spring preseason, and afterwards, once the season started, he benches the guy without even, you know, warning him. And then this year he benches Hughes, and then afterwards, when they went on that winning streak, he benches Nate for like 14 games. And then afterwards, of course, we remember Nate Robinson's first game back, he scored 41 points off the bench.
Yeah.
And then now Hughes is back on the bench for who knows for how long.
I hope if we get LeBron, like if we do get LeBron, I hope like D'Antoni doesn't bench LeBron for like 20 games if LeBron gets mad or something. But that was,
I don't think,
man.
I don't think he'll do that.
D'Antoni would get fired if he ever did that.
Yeah. Dude, LeBron would run him out of town. Even Donnie Wall, D'Antoni is a biggest supporter. Mike, you're right. Mike D'Antoni is a biggest supporter. Donnie Walsh, you know, the GM. Even Walsh would turn on D'Antoni in a heartbeat for LeBron.
Yep.
That's if LeBron decides, you know, to come over here, try to win a championship. But we shall see. And Harrington, he's been he's been hurt lately, and he had his because of his injuries, his offense has been affected by that.
Yeah.
The team, they desperately need his scoring abilities, even though Harrington's weakness is that he does shoot the ball too much and he doesn't, distribute the ball.
Right. Harrington, he's had a good year off the bench.
Yeah, he did. He's like one of the lead scorers. Probably the
and
second or third leading scorer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like Harrington. I wouldn't mind bringing him back one more year next year, off the bench.
Yeah, me too. Although
but
he does look like Raphael from Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, he does. Or you could say Michelangelo because he got the orange headband,
Oh, right.
But the biggest news that happened this week with the Knicks is not that they're losing. Big shocker there, but. The snub of David Lee.
Yeah, that's messed up. David Lee should have made it, man. He had great numbers this year.
Yeah, 2 years in a row. David Lee, he's put up, all-star type numbers, and both years he's been snubbed.
Mm-hmm.
David Lee, he has a small window of opportunity if Garnett or if somebody else gets hurt. Maybe Stern might... let him come on to the team, pick him, but there's a strong shot that that's not going to happen because he's most likely going to pick Shaquille O'Neal because of what Shaquille O'Neal, meant to the game. So, as a sentimental pick.
Well, there's still a chance he can make it. You did say that Shaquille O'Neal felt sorry for David Lee. He didn't make it, so who knows? Maybe Shaquille O'Neal might give up his spot. If he
I think that'd be great. If he did that, I hope he does. If he does get selected over Lee, which that's a strong possibility that's going to happen.
Yeah. I hope he does. David Lee deserves to go to an All-Star game.
Definitely does. And his biggest critics from the people who don't think David Lee should go, obviously because of the Knicks' losing record.
Yeah.
But the biggest criticism of Lee making the All-Star game is because they say that, it's that system that's making him such a better player, a double-double guy. But here's the criticism with that. Sure, he's improved every year, but what's his name? David Lee has been averaging double-double his whole career, even with Isaiah Thomas as the head coach. So that's a little, there's a little... discrepancy in their argument right there.
Those critics are stupid. They'll go kill themselves.
I wouldn't go that far, but,
Well, I'm just angry because literally he deserves to make the All-Star game, and yet you're criticizing him for what? Averaging great numbers?
I agree.
What kind of dumb thing is that?
And they're penalizing him because of the the team's record. And then they're just stuffing people, into the All-Star game. Look at Allen Iverson. Of course this guy is, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's gonna, once his career is over, which is looks like he's on his last leg this year, he's going to go into, Springfield, Illinois, in the Hall of Fame, NBA Hall of Fame. But whatchamacallit, Allen Iverson has no business doing the All-Star game. It's because the fans voted him in.
Yeah, the guy's been averaging like 11 points a game, I think, this season.
I know. And they put him in the Hall of Fame. That's the problem. That's the biggest problem with the All-Star game, besides that they don't play any defense whatsoever. It's becoming a popularity contest.
It is.
Yao Ming was one of the highest vote getters, and he didn't even play.
Yao Ming?
Yeah, with the West.
Oh, is he? Has he been selected?
I haven't checked to see if he's officially selected, but he was like one of the highest thing. I think he might have, he told his fans that in China and in the U.S. that not to, you know, not to vote for him because he's, you know, he doesn't deserve to be, he doesn't deserve the honor because he hasn't played all year.
Yeah.
So I would assume that he got selected, his, you know, the fans, he got voted in, but he's hurt, so he's not going to, not gonna be able to play. He's going to be.
I think they're treating with Tracy McGrady, too.
Yeah, exactly, right. They voted him in there, too.
Yeah.
So it shows you right there what a popularity contest it is.
Yeah.
And it's a
maybe
shame,
you should go back to letting the coaches and other executives vote.
Yeah, but you know what they should do? You know, I love the fact that fans get the right to vote, you know, generally speaking, but the NBA one is getting a little out of hand. I mean, they should have a limit, like, you should play a minimum of 30 to 35 games for you to be an all-star. Like, something like maybe 20 to, like, 40 games you
right.
should play in the thing before you're considered an all-star. It should be, like,
right.
a limit because you can't have Yao Ming playing in the game, you know, selected, and the guy never even played a game.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And they shouldn't be penalizing. I mean, I agree with the coaches that the most important thing is that, you know, you have to have a winning record because it don't matter what you put, what numbers you put up. If your team ain't winning, it don't mean jack, you know. But they shouldn't penalize a guy who's having a career year, who play hard, who he's improving on his defense. I mean, he's not Bill Bradley by any means, you know.
No.
Out there, but this guy, you know, he's improving every aspect of his game. He's being a better outside shooter.
He rebounds.
He always rebounds.
This guy's a great. He's a very good player.
Yeah, they should give the guy a shot. I mean, he's a hard worker. The guy definitely needs a shot. I mean, it's gonna be. The last time we had an all-star was 2001 when we had Sprewell and Houston.
In Houston, yeah.
And you know what? When I think this streak is going to be over at this rate?
We'll get LeBron.
If we get LeBron, that's when the streak is going to get over.
If we get LeBron.
If we get LeBron, that's the only time this streak is going to get over.
Yep. But like I said, who knows? David Lee still has a chance to make it this year, so don't count him out.
Yeah, he has a slim shot if... some of these guys like Garnett and, you know, some of these other players, or Iverson, let's say, you know, he gets hurt or he feels he doesn't deserve the honor, he might step down. Maybe Lee might get a shot.
Yeah.
Stern might vote him in.
We saw Iverson last week, by the way.
Yeah, you know, always scoring.
Yeah.
But the Nets, on the other hand, man, that team looks like they're gonna set the record.
Man, they find every way to lose.
Yeah, they actually they beat the Clippers the other day.
Oh yeah, for their fourth win.
Yeah, and their first win in 2010.
Yeah.
Congratulations to them, I assume.
Yeah, that team is a horror movie.
Yeah, and that team is, you know, a very young but, you know, talented team, but they just can't put it together. They, you know, it's hard for, you know, the win in the league.
Hey, when you're young like that, it's hard to win.
Yeah. But they're going to be in a good spot next year, you know, especially if they get the number one pick and draft John Wall. But the hard thing is if like what happened to the Celtics when Pitino was coaching the team. Just because you have the worst record doesn't mean the ping pong balls are gonna fall your way and you're gonna get the number one pick.
Right.
Because the Celtics should have won Garnett. They should have won they should have won, not Garnett, my fault. They should have won Duncan. But instead, of course, he went to the Spurs, and of course, the rest is history. And on his way to win his first championship against the Knicks in '99.
Yep. And you're going to win two more.
Yep. 2002, I believe, was the other
one. I think it was 2003, and then 2005, I think, again.
Wait, doesn't he have, I could've sworn he had four.
Wait, let me see. Okay, 2009 was the Lakers. 2008 was Boston. 2007 was the Spurs.
Right.
Hey, I think it is four. I think.
Yeah, it is four.
2007, 2005, 2003.
Because the Spurs, I think, beat the Nets in 2002.
No. The Lakers won the championship in 2002.
Wait, let me try to think.
Lakers beat the Nets in 2002. 2003, the Spurs beat the Nets.
Which one? You said three, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my fault. Then it's three. Then that's right. You're right. Because Lakers won three straight. 2000, 2001, and 2002. Yeah, you're correct. And then Spurs won in 2003 and 99. And what was the? I'm trying to remember. 2007.
2005. It's 2004, the Pistons won it.
Right, they beat, let me try to remember.
The Lakers.
Right, the Lakers, right.
And then 2005, the Spurs won it. 2006 was...
Heat.
Yeah, the Heat, right, Miami Heat. And next year, after that, the Spurs won it again.
Yep.
They beat the Cavaliers. Is LeBron's only finals appearance.
Yeah. And I believe the franchise only appearance as well.
Yeah.
And it's just funny how the league is. In the 90s, the Knicks was one of the best teams, even though they didn't win, a championship. They went to two NBA finals in 94 and 99 against the Rockets, the Houston Rockets, and the San Antonio Spurs, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
But look what a decade does. The Nuggets were horrible. They were setting the record with the most losses, with nine wins and 71 losses. No, wait, that would be wait nine wins and 72, I believe.
Three.
Oh, wait, 73. In 82 season?
Yeah.
Do the math. But, and the Cavaliers, I mean, their best moment up in the 90s was when Jordan beat them with that last second shot.
Yeah. That's how things are, you can't always be good all the time.
Yep. And then we all know what's the reason why, because, the drafting, man. You, once you draft a superstar, your whole franchise changed.
Yeah.
Nuggets got Carmelo Anthony. Of course, the Cavaliers got LeBron, and we haven't done anything, pretty much.
And salary cap. I mean, unlike baseball, basketball has a salary cap.
Yep.
So it's hard to get great players to come play for your team.
Yep, because you can't sign a players because you're over the salary cap, and you can't trade, even though you got average players making superstar money,
yep.
But you can't trade for superstar money because the talent don't match up.
Exactly.
That's why Knicks is in that situation ever since they trade away Hewing.
Yeah, but this offseason, we're going to have, room to sign maybe two superstars, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Maybe what they should do is sign LeBron, re-sign Lee, and maybe wait next year and try to go after Chris Paul or I think Dwight Howard is going to be a free agent in either 2011 or 2012.
I would love to have Dwight Howard on my team.
Yeah, that'd be great. Imagine LeBron and him. That'd be unstoppable. I mean, alley-oop all the time, man.
Yeah.
It'd be like the alley-oop Knicks or something. LeBron to Howard. What the dog?
And Chris Paul,
awesome.
Too.
Yeah,
Chris Paul and him also passing the ball. I mean, that'd be great. Yeah.
But there has to be a way. You have to, you know, for those guys to sign, you know, to clear enough cap space so we can get all three of those guys. Because right now, that's a pipe dream right now.
We have to get rid of guys like Curry and, what's someone else?
Jeffries.
Yeah, well, yeah, Jeffries, yeah, him too, although he's our best defensive player.
Yeah.
But Curry's the main guy. We need to get rid of his fat ass.
Yeah. But, yeah, but the good thing about Curry and Jeffries is that their contract ends at the end of next year.
Great. Can't wait.
Yep.
We're going to be counting down that.
But the bad news is that, you know, because of the Nets and Pistons aren't doing good, their attendance is going down. So there's rumors that maybe, I mean, that the cap might go down. Might even go down to, like, the salary cap limit might even go all the way down to, like, maybe the worst case scenario might be $50 million or between $50 million to, like, $58
million.
Hmm. But as of right now, they're saying that the attendance are going as well as they thought it would be. So that might be a hole that the cap won't fall all the way down.
Oh.
But the problem is that, you know, since Nets and Pistons are doing horrible, their attendance are the one that's ruining the thing. So if Nets and Pistons and the other losing teams could draw more attendance, the salary cap won't get affected as much.
Doesn't make any sense.
I know. But, you know, there's rumors that the salary cap, you know, is going to get affected. And if the salary cap goes lower than we're supposed to, then we won't be able to have enough to max out on two superstar players.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
And they need to just let the team sign whoever they want to.
Yeah, they should.
Salary cap. It'd be like baseball, you know?
Yeah, I hope it does go like that.
Because I'm sure if the Knicks didn't have a salary cap, there wasn't any salary cap, the Knicks could sign whoever they wanted, anytime.
Yep. Because look at the Lakers. Lakers is over the salary cap. They have like $91 million in the salary cap, but of course they're a winning team. They were willing to, you know, to have Kobe. They signed Artest.
Right.
They re-signed Odom. Of course, they acquired Gasol in the trade.
Right.
Which was the key for them winning the championship last year. So, you know, they should, like you said, they should make the cap be like baseball, you know, so that you could spend, you know, try to get the best team available and, you know, assemble them together. But also, don't penalize owners, you know, smart GMs in case if they, you know, make a smart deal, but they're like, oh, wait a minute, this is gonna mess up the cap. I can't afford this player, so I'm gonna have to get rid of another player, you know, a valuable player, so I can get this player.
Yeah, that'll be a better way of doing it.
Yeah, I wish there was no salary cap in basketball, because we could have, because all these, you know, these quote-unquote superstars are saying, oh, I love New York, you know, I love playing at the Garden, but they don't want to sign here.
Yeah, we could have had Kobe, maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows? Remember when Isaiah was here, he was trying to get Kobe to come here.
Yeah, well, $5 million. We know that ain't happening.
Yeah.
You know what people love more than the Garden?
Is it girls?
Well, I mean,
people love more than the Garden.
I'll give you a clue. A lot of Yankee players love it and they have it.
Oh, pie.
Well, I mean, besides that, I'm talking about what does A-Rod have?
Oh, money.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct. That's what the NBA players love more than more than the playing at the Garden. The money.
Yeah, the money.
The right amount of money, they'll play in Siberia.
Oh yeah, they don't care. They'll play at my house. They don't care.
They'll play the NBA Finals at Rucker Park. To give them the right amount of money.
Yeah. Yeah, these players are greedy, money hungry. They're like gold diggers a little bit.
Yeah, that's the problem with the sports nowadays. There's not a lot of loyalty towards your team. I mean, players would rather, leave their team that they made their whole career, they spent their whole career just so they could try to be a bench player on a championship team.
Yep.
I mean, come on. I mean, I'm for, most important thing is to win a championship, but I mean, I think equally important is being, loyal to the team that drafted you.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know? Do anybody think any less of Ted Williams? Because he stayed his whole career with the Red Sox and didn't win a title? No. A lot of people consider him, when he was alive, the best, hitter alive when he was alive at that time.
Yeah. That's why I'm hoping that when Derek Jeter becomes a free agent, which is going to be very soon, I hope he doesn't...
Yeah, I think this is last year.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't, go to another team who offers him more money.
I don't think he'll do that. Honestly, I don't think he'll do that.
You never know, though.
Well, players, you never know, but I actually think he is sincerely loyal to the Yankee organization. I mean, growing up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, he grew up a Yankee fan, so... I think he's going to live out his dream, to retire as a Yankee.
Because I could see the Red Sox doing that. They could give him, a large contract, a ridiculous contract. That doesn't make any sense. 10 years, 100 million.
Nah, I don't think they'll go that far.
You don't know about the Red Sox, man. They almost did it to Bernie Williams. They almost signed Bernie Williams.
Man, if Theo Epstein offers Derek Jeter, as great as a player he is, if he offers him a $10 million contract, man, as great as T.O. Epstein is as a GM, he deserves to get fired. Because, come on, Derek Jeter is 35 years old. You're going to have a shortstop, which is like a reactionary position. You're going to make him play at the age, retire at the age of 45?
Yeah.
I mean, then again, they could make him move to DH.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think that would be a weird move.
I think Derek Jeter has about 3 good solid years left in him.
Yeah, I think so too.
He'll retire before 40, before he hits 40.
Yeah, I think Yankees will offer him a 5-year, maybe at least $100 million contract.
Maybe, yeah.
Or maybe they might even give him a 30 per. Just so he can make more than Jeter. I mean, more than A-Rod. For symbolic reasons.
Yeah, maybe. I could see that. But again, I don't see him playing until 40.
Yeah, I could see him. Yeah, I think he'll retire around 38
to 40. And of course, you can see him retiring after he turned 38.
Yeah, you might. And another thing, Joe Mauer, there's reports that they're confident that he's going to sign an extension before spring training, which we all assumed because this guy is from Minnesota. He grew up a Twins fan, and he's living his dream. All he needs is one more thing to live his boyhood dream is to win a championship with the Twins.
Yeah, this guy's probably the best offensive catcher in the game right now.
Yeah, he definitely is. I mean,
MVP,
as a Mets fan,
second league MVP.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal player. I mean, as a Mets fan, I would love to see that guy, play for the Mets. But as a baseball fan, it wouldn't be right if he leaves the team that he grew up rooting for money. And I don't think he will.
Me either. But you never know.
Yeah, I know. But I actually think he's one of the few, loyal players out there.
He plays all gold diggers.
Money talks, so. Yep. I wouldn't mind him, you know, wearing a Mets uniform, that's for sure.
I wouldn't mind him wearing a Yankees uniform. The Posada is going to retire soon.
The Yankees could have every all-star player, you know, on every position.
Hey, there's no law against us preventing
right
us from signing every player.
You're right about that. You're right.
Not doing anything wrong.
But you are absolutely right. At least you guys are putting your money back into your team. You know,
exactly.
Unlike the Twins and Pirates.
Mets. You have to talk about their budget.
Well, I mean, overall, I mean, that's, you know, they have spent the money over the years. I mean, barring these last 2 years. But the problem with the Mets is that they don't know how to spend their money correctly, man. They overpay for players, marginal players, and those players don't produce. But during the Manaea reign, you know, he's usually went out and got the players he wanted. You know, in 05, he wanted Beltran, he got him. He wanted Pedro, he oversigned him, even though Pedro was, you know, getting a little over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
But he got him, you know. Okay. He wanted K-Rod last year. Sure, he got him with a cheaper deal. But he, you know, he got K-Rod. But here's the problem. Ever since 2009, they got one player. They got K-Rod, and after they're like, oh, well, we're good to go. You know, we don't need Manny. We don't need to improve the pitching. Fast forward to this year. Last year, we remember they got injured, and they weren't out of it. They were totally – they never competed for the NL East. They were kind of like the Yankees of 08, you know. They were, like, eliminated in spring training. But this year, the
Yankees in 08, they were in it, though.
But they
just didn't make the playoffs.
Nah, they were out of it. They
won 90 games that year, so.
But the Yankees were going.
No, there was one point where they're actually leading the division, but then they, you know, they didn't make the playoffs. You know, they say they were eliminated by spring training. I mean, that's not fair.
Okay, I'm over exaggerating on that point.
Yeah,
but Red Sox had the lead for the most part, and then, you know, they held onto the division and Yankees for the first time since 93. They haven't made the postseason.
Yeah. And as we know, this past year, the Yankees, you know, they got redemption. They got some redemption and they won the championship.
Well, you stole my thunder. That's what I was about to say. But, you know, you guys redeemed yourself and you guys won the title. The title you guys have been winning for since 2000.
Yeah. And now they added some players, new players to the roster. Grandison, they just got Wynn, Randy Wynn, and unfortunately they didn't sign Hideki Matsui, who I wanted to come back. And
Damon.
It doesn't look like they're gonna bring back Damon now, so it's gonna be a new look Yankees.
So which team do you like? Which Yankee team do you like better, this year's or last year's team?
Well, this year's team I haven't seen play yet.
Well, yeah.
The
but
last
on
year's
paper.
Team, on paper, I mean, on paper, this year's team looks better than last year's team, but I'd say I'm with last year's team because they, you know, they've proven that they can win the championship, so.
Right.
And plus, I mean, last year was just an exciting year. I mean, you had the walk-off wins, come-from-behind wins, pie in the face.
Yep.
I mean, it was a great time, you know. I went to one of the playoff games, the game two of the Minnesota Twins series, and it was an exciting time, you know. So I would say last year's team was definitely going to be up there for me.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, the only thing I could really say is that you guys really improved was the pitching. I mean, you guys did trade away a fan favorite in Melky Cabrera, but you guys improved on the pitching by getting Javier Vasquez, who I wish Nets would have traded and got four, you know. But I think they'll be. What is that?
Defense also.
Well, I can't.
Defense.
Defense?
Yeah, we improved our defense. I mean, Damian, he's not going to come back, so he's not going to be in center field anymore. So you're basically going to have, what's his name?
Granderson?
Brett Gardner.
All right.
Gardner
right.
And Granderson in the outfield. So we're going to have a faster outfield out there.
And a younger outfield as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know some fans are, you know, they're criticizing the Vasquez trade because he didn't fare too well in 04, but this time he's not coming as a number two guy. He's going to be a number four guy, so there's going to be a little less pressure. And he should have a great year for you guys. I mean, the guy won 15 games with the Braves last year. So that's a great acquisition for you guys. And the Granderson... You know, he didn't have a good year. I mean, he had a decent year, but he was able to hit 30 home runs.
Right.
And in that ballpark, man, he might hit 40.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely had some power, and he could draw walks. He had like 70 walks last year.
Yeah, all he needs to do is just be able to hit the lefties better, and he'll be great. He'll be grand.
Yeah, you're right. And I found out something that I couldn't believe. Do you know how many double plays this guy hit into last year?
What, one?
One double play.
Like you
just... Seriously. I couldn't believe that.
Unlike Fernando Tatis, which the Mets re-signed, went in a record, last year's 13 double play last year. But onto the Mets, I like that they signed Frank Catalano. He's a veteran, super utility guy. He hit .278 last year. He's a career .292 hitter from Long Island, a local guy. And I think people say that he's like a hitting coach off the bench. So he might have that Swisher, personality that, helped out the Yankees. Of course, Swisher was a regular with you guys, but he might have that, he has that clubhouse presence in the locker room, so hopefully that could help the Mets out, like Swisher helped you guys out. But we shall see about that. What do you think about that, my friend?
I think, right now he's going to be in the minor leagues because it's a minor league deal, but if they decide to bring him up, he'll definitely help out the Mets in the locker room and, And he's a okay hitter.
Yeah, he's a, he had a, probably one of his worst years in a while, but he hit decent, .278, a home run. But, he might bring that clubhouse presence, along with Henry Blanco, catching, being a backup catcher.
Right.
So, they have some, they have some, decent veterans who could help out these young guys and hopefully help these guys, become winning-type players.
But, the Mets needed to address pitching this offseason, and, they let a lot of pitchers get signed, like Pinheiro, Garland, Sheets, Blackie,
The
Mets have the highest payroll in the National League. They're not supposed to let these free agents go like this.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir. Omar and Jeff were saying, in the off season that their number one priority is pitching, defense, and speed, and they definitely didn't address the pitching. The only pitching they addressed was the bullpen, signing Kelvin Escobar, who should definitely improve the bullpen as a setup guy. You got this Japanese guy Iragashi. Hopefully it'll performance in Japan will translate well in America.
Yeah, that Japanese immigrant.
Yeah, they got this knuckleballer R.A. Dickey, who they said they've been trying to acquire for the past couple of years. Hopefully that'll pan out, even though he's 35 years old, which
right.
seems like the average age for Mets players, except for Reyes and Wright and Frank Gore. And the Mets wonder why they always being injury prone. But in any case, they definitely need to improve the pitching. The guy who they definitely shouldn't have let go was John Lackey, and even Manaea admitted that.
And you know, there's still guys out there this week. I mean, Garland, Sheets. Garland and Sheets got signed one day. Well, Garland got signed, I think it was Tuesday.
Yeah, I think they both signed on Tuesday. Sheets went to
I think one got signed the day after. The other good one got signed.
Probably. And then Garland got signed by the Padres.
Yeah, so those guys were still out there.
Yeah. It paled. The pitching rotation definitely pales in comparison to next year's team, where when Beckett and Cliff Lee, if he doesn't sign an extension, among other great pitchers, and some of these guys who, if they don't sign an extension, these guys who, like Sheets, going to be back to a free agent because he signed a one-year deal. There's gonna be a lot of pitching next year.
Oh yeah. A lot of hitters, too.
Yeah, definitely.
You have Crawford. Of course, I want the Yankees to go after him.
Man, I wish the Mets would go after him, but with them, the only problem I have with the base signing is that pretty much eliminates the possibility of Mets going after Crawford.
Yeah.
So that guy, he it's like City Field was built for him and Reyes.
Yeah, this guy is probably the fastest guy in baseball.
This guy has the speed, man. Him and Reyes, man. Those guys are two of the fastest runners in the game.
Yeah. And how many? I think Crawford stole 60 bases last year or something.
Yeah, that's like a typical number for that guy.
Because I know what's his name, Ellsbury led the league in base steals last year, I think. But I think Crawford was just behind him. So this guy, you know, he steals a lot of bases every year.
Yep.
And he could hit. He has a lot of power, too.
Yeah, he definitely does. So who you think is going to the Super Bowl, of course, we know it's going to be next week, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Saints versus the Colts, of course. Who you think's gonna win the Super Bowl?
Well, I think it's gonna be the Colts, and I think it's gonna be a blowout. I think Colts are gonna win 30-14. But I think the Colts are they're a veteran team. They have a smart quarterback, probably the smartest quarterback in football. And I just think they're better all around than the Saints. You know, the Colts have been there before to the Super Bowl, so they know, you know, it's not going to be their first time around.
Yeah.
They're not going to be shy about playing there.
Yeah.
And the Saints, I mean, offensively, they're a great team, but got to give the edge to the Colts.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. As much as I'd love to see the Saints win their first Super Bowl and beat the Colts. After all, I am a sore loser, you know. Once my team gets eliminated by you know, a team, for example, you know, just getting eliminated by the Colts, the AFC. Now I'm a sore loser. I want that team to lose. So I hope Colts lose, but I think Colts have, you know, they have the better quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And they have experience of winning a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And I think that will factor in. Not to say Saints isn't a weak team itself. You know, they have a great team as well. You know, they have very, you know, good offense.
Yeah.
But I think Peyton Manning, as we saw in the AFC game and what we saw throughout Peyton Manning's career, is that in a game, man, it don't matter what the score is, he's always going to come back and will his team to win.
Yeah.
So
I
yeah, I also predict, but I think it's going to be a close one. I think it'll be the final score will be 30-24 Colts.
Oh, okay.
Football champion.
And you know, I want the Saints to lose because I want
Kim Kardashian
to win over Reggie Bush.
Yeah, that's another incentive.
Yeah, so hopefully that happens.
Exactly what he's thinking, man. Dude, if I was him, I would never put that on the line.
Yeah. Well,
winner
Kim Kardashian, she's not that smart.
I don't know why they would agree to that if they wanted to get attention.
Yeah, that's basically what it is, for attention.
Nah, I would never put that on the line. That would make it even worse losing the Super Bowl even twice. Twice as bad.
Well, hopefully they lose. Don't want to see those two break up.
See what happens. Well, I'm just glad that Favre didn't beat the Saints and have a shot to, you know, win a championship.
Yeah.
After the way how he pretty much used the Jets last year.
Basically. But he had a chance to win it for the Vikings, but then he threw the interception near the end of the fourth quarter.
Typical Brett Favre, man. As great as he is as a quarterback, this guy, you know, he lives and dies with taking chances, and the Vikings' chance of winning a Super Bowl definitely died with that interception.
Yep. Yeah, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but he also makes some of the dumbest decisions of all time, too.
Yep. And if you want to talk about a dumb decision, I guess we'll go over to the squared circle, you know, with wrestling.
The road to WrestleMania.
Yep. Before we talk about the Royal Rumble, there's some news that who should have been a WWE Hall of Famer, the Honky Tonk Man, he was gonna get it. Reportedly, he admits that he was gonna get inducted to this year's Hall of Fame, but he turns it down because he felt slighted that they took so long to induct him. So not only is he turning down the Hall of Fame, he's going to TNA, WWE competition.
Oh man, that's funny.
I don't know why one he would turn it down. And two, why would he? This guy's like in his 50s or 60s. I mean, what more could he do in wrestling?
He thinks he's I think he thinks he's Hulk Hogan or something, which he's not.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a good wrestler, but I mean, come on, you were a
greatest
good wrestler. He wasn't a great wrestler.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest intercontinental champions of all time.
Yeah.
Still holds the record, I think, with, what, 62 straight weeks as a champion?
Yeah. But, yeah, he's not the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. I can name you intercontinental champions that were better than him.
Like, which one would you say? Because there's because of his record, you know. Some people say he's the best, but who would you say?
He's not the best. He held it for the longest, but he's not the best. I mean, Mr. Perfect was better than him. Razor Ramon was better than him. I could even say maybe Shawn Michaels was even better than him. I mean, come on. He was good, but he's not great. He's not a great wrestler.
He was a great heel.
Yeah, he was.
Smashing people in the head with a guitar. Kind of like, you know, Jeff Jarrett kind of ripped him off, you know.
Yeah.
But then again, Jeff Jarrett, when you think about him as Double J, he kind of ripped off some of the wrestlers, like Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that, yeah. The mannerisms, yeah.
Yeah.
Double J's a combination of Ric Flair and Honky Tonk.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It don't make no sense for me that the guy, you know, like, I turned on the Hall of Fame. I mean, if you want to go to TNA afterwards. He should have did that. I mean, it's not like they're going to have a ceremony to take him off. It's like what happened to Hogan and Ric Flair, you know. They went to TNA, and now WWE is, you know, pretending like they never existed.
Yep.
Now, I can't understand why Hulk did that. Man, why didn't he just go back to WWE instead of going to TNA?
I don't know, for the money, I would assume.
Remember when Vince was going to offer him that long-term contract?
Yeah, like a 20-year contract.
Yeah. Could have took that.
And whatchamacallit, speaking of which, Randy Orton signed a 10-year contract with the WWE.
Damn.
So you're gonna see a whole lot of Randy Orton.
Yeah. He's gonna grow old with the company.
Yep. And who do you think's gonna win the Royal Rumble?
He's really gonna hear voices in his head by then.
Maybe Scott Boris. But I think Sheamus is gonna retain it.
Who is he fighting tonight?
Randy Orton.
Oh right.
A rare heel versus heel match.
Yeah, you don't see that much. WWE. But yeah, I think Sheamus will win.
Yeah, because they have to even though my gut's saying that Orton could win, but they have to cement Sheamus as a real WWE championship, because his one came out of nowhere. I mean, this guy didn't win any titles. His first title was the WWE title.
Right.
I mean, he's not Hogan. He's not Undertaker. You know, he can't just, you know, come over there not winning anything major, and he just wins the WWE title out of nowhere.
Well, that's basically what he did.
Yeah. I mean, the fans were always crying for years that they should develop a new champion. But give it to a guy who's, you know, who trained in the company all those years and, you know, build up his, you know, his fandom with the fans, or, you know, have somebody that they actually, you know, they root for, or someone that they can't stand. Someone who make them actually care that they're watching, you know, a championship match.
Yeah, you're right.
But, yeah, I think he's going to win. And there's rumors that Triple H might win the Royal Rumble and face him for the title at WrestleMania. But I think that'd suck.
Yeah, I don't want to see that match.
Yeah.
Sheamus versus Triple H.
But pretty much the reason why he has the title is because his buddy is with Triple H.
Oh, right, yeah.
And isn't
he friends with, what's his name?
Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre?
Yep, and he's the Intercontinental Champion, and no one even cares about the Intercontinental title right now.
It's not, it's like, non-existent.
Yeah, man. Him and John Morrison, when both those guys are fighting for the title, they rarely defend the title anyway.
Yeah.
The United States title has more points than them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. These days it looks like the U.S. title is more important than the Intercontinental.
Who's
the Miz fighting tonight?
MVP for the United States Championship.
Oh, Miz might win. What's his name? MVP might win that tonight.
Well, I'm hoping MVP wins. I would prefer him fight for the fight Sheamus for the title, but I don't know. Right now they don't look like they're giving MVP the respect that he could have. You know, he might have in the match.
Right.
You know, I mean, in the, you know, he has the championship material. All he needs is, you know, they need to give him a shot. But
I'd love to see him.
I think Undertaker will definitely retain against Rey Mysterio.
Oh yeah, because Undertaker's gonna retain until WrestleMania.
Oh yeah,
that might
definitely be
the last match.
Exactly, because him and Shawn Michaels are hurt.
Yeah. But I still think that John Cena wins the Royal Rumble tonight.
Yeah, I could see him or Cena or Triple H or HBK winning. But I'm hearing that people are thinking it's going to be Ted DiBiase, but I think it's going to be Triple H. Unfortunately, I hope it's not the case, but I think Triple H will win again. Well,
Well, I'm trying to play your ending music, but this damn switchboard, since yesterday, it's acting up.
Hey, it wants to give the fans extra, you know, time to, you know, talk to us. You know, we're going extra innings right here.
Okay. But this thing is not going to start up, though.
Is that going to start up?
No, it's doing the same thing that it was doing yesterday. It's not loading at all.
Well, then, I guess, and you're sure it's not going to work right now?
No.
Well, then, in that case, then, as usual, it's a pleasure doing the show with you. And,
you doing the show with you too, man. As always,
thanks.
Every Sunday.
Appreciate that. And I want to thank the listeners, you know, for, you know, taking the time and listening to the show. Thank you for joining us another episode of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthews, I'm William Ramo. See you next week, guys.
See you next week.